You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. While you're there, download our free mobile app. We've got a digital Bible. All of our teachings are on there. We've got an online community that you can be a part of and connect with. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications, leave a 5-star review, invite someone to the stream. All of those things help such a great deal in helping to get the Word of God out in front of people. And I know we know this by now, but if you're listening for the first time and you've never heard this, I want to let you know that the truth will set you free. So many people that I talk to, which is really was really a catalyst from, you know, getting this together, say, you know, I want to read the Bible, I just don't know where to start. So I hope that you've been blessed by what we've been doing here. We've been through the Gospel of John. We just got through the Gospel of Matthew. And over the past 4 days now, this is day number 5, we've studied the 7 things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. And I said this a few minutes ago to those who were watching on the live stream. We always jump on just a few minutes early. And if you ever want to join us, we're on Facebook now. But with the next season, we're going to be on YouTube. I mean, we do also stream to Twitter and a couple different places. But the bottom line is this. You can tell a lot about someone by the words that they speak. And also, the words that they speak in the most difficult times of life. Now, I know there's times when things are tough and we say things that we generally don't mean and we act out of emotion. I know that happens as well. But it's often that when we face the biggest challenges in our life, that what's on the inside really gets displayed on the outside. And we've talked about this, about how, you know, a tree bears a fruit, right? A tree bears the fruit of what's on the inside. You could tell a tree by its fruit. And Jesus said this when he rebuked the Pharisees. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why I think this study is just so powerful, because we see what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's what we, if you're listening in real time, this is Good Friday. It's a day that we are both solemn that the sins of the world, you know, really set into motion what had to happen today. But God was so faithful in his love for us that he fulfilled it. He fulfilled his promise from the Garden of Eden, since man fell, for the redemption of us all. And Jesus, while he was on the cross with everything that he endured, really showed us the depth of his heart. The first thing that he said, we'll just give a recap, is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He looked upon those that had hurt him, but truly the whole world was guilty to some degree. And he says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He leads by example in both forgiving and praying, even to those who would rise up against us as our enemies. And I just ask you today, can you forgive those who have persecuted you? And then next, with the thieves on the cross and the one who was mocking him just like everybody else was, but the one who looked to him and said, you know, I've made mistakes, but I honor you as Lord and Savior and for what you're doing today. And he looks at that thief and he says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Will you and I be like that thief and make a decision today to say, I want to be with you, Jesus, because that's what happened. The thief said, remember me. Jesus said, I'll do more than that. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And we studied how he looked down and amongst everybody mocking him, he saw the disciple John and he saw his mother who he loved very much. And he said, son, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son. Even on the cross, even in agony, he was caring for his mother. He was fulfilling his obligations under the law, but so much more. He was showing what it meant to set yourself aside for a moment and care about the future of somebody else. That's a reflection of his agape love. And then yesterday, we studied the two phrases which show his humanity. First, that he said, I thirst. He suffered in every way, physical, mental, emotional. It was a lonely place up on that cross, and he faced a lot of pain and suffering, but he did it for me and you. And when he said, I thirst, we get that humanity. One of the basic just needs of a person is to have a drink of water. And he thirsted beyond anything you and I have ever felt. And then he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And for so often, for most of my life, I've seen the church teach that as if the Father had abandoned him, and the Father did not. Father did not. Jesus was quoting Psalm 22, which starts exactly that. And if you read through the book, the Psalm, Psalm 22, you see that it starts out with this statement where it appears to be a separation, but it closes out showing that God doesn't go anywhere. And sometimes we can feel like we're all alone. And maybe according to the world, we are, just like Jesus on the cross. Everybody turned their back on him, but the Father never did. Father never did. And as we close out today with this study, we see Jesus in a place where he's at the end of his life. He's done everything that he needed to do. And he utters a word that just, a phrase that just has so much power. Let's get in and read that this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 19, 28 through 30. It's going to start a little bit with what we studied yesterday, and then we'll get to our phrases for today. It says, now knowing everything had been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put it on the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, he had said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. We'll get to that final part, but I don't want to gloss over three very important words, at least three words in the English language, and that is, it is finished. And what I want to do is I want to take that phrase and just explain it a little bit more, because I think it really puts into perspective what is going on here. See, it is finished was a word that was used so often in that time. Everybody that was around the cross would have heard the words being used and would have recognized it for a few reasons. We'll cover two today. That word, it is finished, it's a phrase to us, but it's a single word in the Koine Greek. It means tetelestai. Tetelestai was spoken during the Roman Empire, and the fact that this is used is, again, absolutely telling of what's going on. It comes from the root word, which is a verb, teleo, which means to finish, to end, to accomplish, or to pay. And tetelestai had several significant applications. Again, we'll cover two of them. But in John 19, when Jesus cries that out, it's not just a temporary thing. It has eternal implications. The use of the word in the Roman Empire, see, let me take you back to this a little bit. Not unlike today, the Roman Empire was bustling with commerce. It was thriving. There were trade routes that were open. Streets were filled with vendors, population exchanging currency for goods at every turn. And when a purchase was made, the word tetelestai would be placed on the top of a receipt, so to speak, showing that the transaction had been completed. It's also a word that was found on business documents. It was found on tax documents. Yes, even in ancient civilizations, tax collectors wanted their money. But anytime a debt was paid, the words tetelestai would be put at the top of the document. See, anytime you're in debt, it's a vulnerable place to be. But to have a debt removed or to be paid and marked with tetelestai, it is finished, it is paid, meant that the individual was free to carry on without that burden. And in Hebrews, it says that he who never sinned became sin for us. He paid the price for us. So that word is very, very intentional. It's to show that everything is paid for. So your victory has already been paid for. You just have to walk it out. Imagine somebody, and this is not a powerful enough analogy, but I'll say it. But imagine you owed a debt. You're at a restaurant and you're sitting there. Somebody pays your bill and you're continuously trying to pay it. You think you owe it. You're in debt. You're not in debt. The wages of sin is death. If you were in debt, you'd have to pay for it, and you wouldn't have the wherewithal to pay for it. But Jesus already paid the price for me and for you. Now, it doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect for you and I, not even close. But it means that all the victory is assured and paid for before you even walk in the room. And to those who were around and heard him utter the words, "It is finished." Now, of course, Jesus didn't speak the Koine Greek from the cross. It's the word that was used to be placed in to reflect the meaning. See, when Jesus said it was finished, it was also a very powerful application of the words that had been spoken in the temple many times. Again, any Jewish man or woman at the crucifixion that heard it would have recognized the utterance from a very special day in Israel's culture. See, the Jewish people didn't communicate again in the Greek, but they would have had a comparative phrase that was used on the Day of Atonement. See, every year there was a holiday where the temple priest would make a special sacrifice on behalf of the people. A lamb would be slain to pay for their sins, which was symbolically placed on the animal. It's kind of where we get the term scapegoat, right? The sins of the population would be placed upon the animal, and once the animal was sacrificed, the priest would go before the crowd and declare in Hebrew, "It is finished." And that would serve as a temporary atonement. It was a ceremony that was repeated every year because eternal forgiveness could not be offered through the law, only atonement. Jesus changed all of that. You see, the people in the old covenant were in a cycle of sin. Sin and redemption, temporary, 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 until the time of Jesus. That whole ceremony was a type and shadow of what was to come. But Jesus was the fulfillment of all that God promised in ushering in the new covenant that we've been talking about for so long here, where mankind would not be bound by traditions and ceremonies and the need for forgiveness over and over and over again. No longer would man be burdened by the penalty of sin. And in Jesus's final moments, he expressed with one of his dying breaths, we'll get to what Luke accounts for his final words here in a second. He cries out with the words, "It is finished." And that had significance for all of humanity. The forgiveness of all sins. Sin is a debt that led to the death of everyone of every generation that preceded Adam, and that debt had to be paid with blood. And it was. I think I said Hebrews before, but it's actually 2 Corinthians, I believe. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And we take a moment and we reflect that, because so many of us carry around burdens. We carry around regrets. We carry around condemnation that we have no business carrying around. It's already been paid for. You're free to move without the burden of the debt of your mistakes, your past, present, and future. And we know that doesn't give you a license to sin, not even close, but it does give you freedom from the penalty, the eternal penalty of sin. And Jesus, knowing that it was finished, knew. And I wonder, these are the type of things I think about, like, was there relief over him knowing that this was done? I don't know. I don't think I'll ever know, but here's what we know, that he loved us. He still loves us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what happened on that cross was a true reflection of God's viewpoint of humanity for all of time. We make a mistake a lot of times looking at what we believe is the Old Testament God versus the New Testament God. The bottom line is this, and this is not very popular sometimes in some circles, but what is displayed of God in the Old Testament is like trying to look through a foggy glass. Even the prophets did not have a full view of the love of the Father. No one did until Jesus came along. When the fullness of God was revealed through a person, the fullness of God was revealed through Jesus. And you know what humanity saw when they got a real look at God? They saw love. They didn't see judgment. They didn't see condemnation. They saw love and mercy and justice. And then Jesus, according to Luke, in his final breath, calls out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It says, when he said this, this is Luke 23:46, he breathed his last. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." If you've been listening at length over the past couple weeks, we've pointed out several moments where something happens to Jesus and he allows it. He allowed Judas to get up and walk away. He allowed Judas to kiss him on his cheek. He allowed the men to arrest him. Right? He turns to Peter and says, "I could call down angels, but I won't, because scripture needs to be fulfilled. The mission of the Father, the salvation of the world, is more important than my immediate comfort. And even my own right to exercise self-defense." When he stood before Pilate, he says, "You have no power over me except that which has been given to you." Jesus allowed every second of it. And in his final breath, it is he who commits his spirit up. It is he who says, "This is happening under my terms." And that just lends to the willingness of Jesus, the willingness to do what he did. He didn't do it under compulsion. He didn't do it under obligation. The only obligation I would say that he did it under was he made a promise and he followed through. That's faithfulness. The commitment to what was meant to be all along. And when you realize what happened by this all being finished, God reestablished what we had in the garden. And that was unhindered access to him. That's what was signified when the veil was torn, right? There's no longer a boundary, a blockage, a separation between me, you, and God. It's all there. And in the coming weeks, as we study out through the book of Acts, we'll see what happened when a group of people, misfit people, you know, fishermen, tax collectors, those who were cast out, what happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, when they received that power, they turned the whole world upside down. They weren't spectators. They weren't afraid to go where they needed to go. They weren't afraid to go to places that were dangerous to their physical body. But they knew the mission at hand was more important than their immediate comfort. And where did they get that? They got that from Jesus. So if you're listening again in real time, it's Good Friday here. But every day is good. Because every day belongs to the Lord. And every day we are partakers of his sacrifice. We are partakers of his kingdom because of the sacrificial love of Christ and the intention of God in heaven from day one for us to have unhindered access to him, to glorify him, to walk worthy of the calling, to be created in his image. So as we always say, go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. Lay it down for him. What can you do today that would bring him glory? What can you do today that would be a good reflection of his finished work? What obstacle in your life do you think that you're burdened with, that you think you're indebted with? What mistake have you made that you think you're still in debt that you need to just release today? And say, you know what? Jesus already paid the price for this very thing. I'm not going to let this weigh me down anymore. Just say that. Father God, just everyone within the sound of my voice, fill them with your hope and your love, the knowledge that it is finished. Just wherever you are, say that. Say, I'm free. Say, I'm out of debt. Say, the wages of my sin will not result in death, but I have eternal life. Just say it. Say, it is finished. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. Remember, we're going to be taking a little bit of time as we move toward the book of Acts, but we are going to be doing some studies in between now and then. So just stay tuned to all of our social media platforms and join us for the studies. I love you guys very, very much. This is the 1% Christian, right? We get together for a few minutes and then we go out and do something amazing with this life that God's given us. Do something amazing for Christ's sake. I love you guys. Have a great, great day.